Semi-final two of Eurovision 2021 featured 17 countries. Unfortunately, only 10 could go through to the grand final. The results are out. We have the televote and jury split, and I think we should talk about it. Oliver, are you ready?
Let's do this!
All right, before we kick this off, let's review the overall results. Starting with the top 10, it was Switzerland winning this semifinal, followed by Iceland, Bulgaria, Portugal in fourth, Finland, Greece, Moldova, Serbia, San Marino, and rounding out the top 10, Albania.
And just missing out of qualification, we've got Denmark's Fear of Flamme, then Austria, Estonia, Poland, Czech Republic, Georgia, and rounding it out in last place is Latvia's Samantha Tina.
Right. So let's quickly go through the podium finishers here. The gold medalist, the champion of semifinal two. This was Switzerland's John's Tears. He came third in the televote and he won the jury vote. This was classy. This was really classy. I was always concerned that the public may not respond as much as the jury, but he still managed to come third with the public vote, and he, of course, won the jury vote. I think the jury respected several things. First, the voice. The vocal was great. He was better in the live performances than he was in rehearsals because he's a performer. He's an artist, and he responds to the energy. And second, the amazing TV work. This was technically very complicated. There must have been hundreds of light cues and camera cuts, so much going on, and TV producers would have respected that. It looked expensive, polished. The outfit I found a little strange, but it worked with the avant-garde vision they went for. Oliver, what do you think about Switzerland's win?
Yeah, I've got to be honest, this wasn't a song that I responded to. I think actually in the Wee Wee Jury, I was the lowest score that got removed. I still respect it for its musicality, obviously. But yeah, that was a big concern of mine, how the televote would respond, because ultimately it has got a lot of things the juries are going to like. It's got the voice. It's got the interesting staging. It's got all of those things that people from a bunch of different media backgrounds are going to respect. And I think that, you know, I think deservedly so. There was clearly a lot of thought and a lot of effort went into that. I do think that the outfit was a little bit of a choice. The choreography, definitely a choice. Some choices were made. But at the end of the day, if you're going to do that well with the jury, it doesn't matter. Like, come on. He's beaten out, actually only beaten out Iceland by 3 points overall, which is very, very slim margins we're talking about. But yeah, a deserved win nonetheless, I think, even if the public weren't digging it as much in the final as they did in the semi. Like, John's Tears should be absolutely proud of what he's achieved for Switzerland.
And we move on to the silver medalist, Iceland, Dathi, and Gagna Magnid. Now, this was not just a musical story, this was a media story. They came second in the televote behind Finland, interestingly. So, of the acts, you know, Switzerland beat them overall, but Switzerland was third in the televote, and Iceland was second. Iceland had so much going for it. You know, yes, it was the backup recording from the rehearsal, but you didn't really notice that on TV. It was seamless. They were quirky. They were different. This was among the simplest, you know, in terms of like, they weren't exploding everything. It was just pure. It felt like a high school, and I mean, this is a compliment, arts and craft project, you know, and it was so tastefully done, and yet it still had enough glamour and just enough kind of oomph with those digital graphics. And also, I do think the media story helped. You know, he tweeted, oh, I'm sick. This was before the grand final. Oh, I'm so sick of people constantly asking how we're feeling, because this did become a media story. He and I actually were on BBC Breakfast together, and the first question they asked was, how are you coping? And, you know, I understand why media outlets were asking this. But for those of us who were kind of living this day by day, certainly you work in Slaying, that online press center, and me on the ground, you heard this constantly, people asking and talking about them. But I think this was a benefit because it got them out in the media and people knew. Whereas with Montaigne, it was less of a, I feel like it was less of a talking point in the semifinals. Whereas the Dathy effect, call it, because they were the favorites last year, perhaps, you know, that people may be familiar with them. But all of this conspired in a beautiful way, and I think it helped them ultimately.
Yeah, absolutely. I think even if there wasn't this media storyline, I still think they would have done really well with the televote because of, you know, them being the favorites last year. But also, we have to give credit where credit's
Oh,
due.
yeah.
Even though these, you know, these musical elements and this kind of stage production, it does borderline novelty, but that isn't, you know, it's still very serious music. There is still really quality production here, and every single element I think was stellar. You know, the "You're So Fascinating" bit with the like big cheesy emoji right in behind, and the delayed smoke and confetti cannon like moment right at the end, just everything was so well thought out. And yeah, there's, I mean, I absolutely love this song. I absolutely love Dathy O'Gagan-Magnydd. There's nothing I can fault about it. And I, yeah, 3 point margin behind Switzerland, like that is incredible, especially when we look at the duality between those two songs. Like, it just goes to show the diversity of Eurovision, especially in this semi-final, and especially the diversity that televoters and jury voters will pick up on. They're not just looking for one thing in particular, they're looking for the best of the bunch in specific categories. It transcends genre, it transcends borders, and that's really exciting.
Absolutely. There is someone for everyone, and there is some song for everyone. So you just got to do you. I think when we look at the acts that did really well, all of the songs did feel sort of organic to them in some way, and there was that connection. All right, the bronze medalist overall, Victoria, growing up is getting old. This was second with the jury behind Switzerland, just a 7-point difference. So it was actually close with the jury. Its downfall, you could say, was coming sixth in the televote, but my God, let's rewind 10 years ago. Here we are talking about Bulgaria coming sixth with the televote and that being a bad thing. You know, I mean, they have come so far, leaps and bounds. This was a beautiful performance. To me, this was my personal winner of semifinal two. I absolutely love this. Just amazing. Yeah, it was tasteful. It was classy. It deserves that second place with the jury. You know, it deserves to be pushing towards the top overall. It was just a moment. It was, she's brave to go a cappella at the end, to be completely exposed, not just musically, but also emotionally. That's brave. That's bold. She did that. Bulgaria is gonna win Eurovision soon. They will, because they have such momentum, ambition, desire, drive, and she has helped push it forward. You know, her song last year, Tears Getting Sober, huge favorite. She, just like Iceland, you know, Bulgaria said, okay, you know, we're gonna live up to the hype again. And they did, and I'm just so happy for them. I understand why the televote is slightly lower. This was so pared back. You know, you've got Finland, which won the televote, exploding everything in your face, rock on. This was very simple and pure. So I understand why maybe it wasn't as immediate to televoters. However, I'm so thrilled the jury respected this.
Yeah, I agree. I actually thought going into this that it was a contender to win the semi-final, and clearly, I mean, top three, there you go, almost winning it. Yeah, I think it is actually interesting though that the televote put her lower, because like we talk about Iceland having this storyline, Bulgaria also had this very public storyline about Victoria and her father and motor neurone disease. And you know, I'm not one to believe in, I don't want to call it a sympathy vote because that's not what I think it is, but it is a way of connecting with audiences. And I thought that could potentially play to the televote and, you know, give Bulgaria an advantage there. But perhaps there was just other things surrounding it that people were more in the mood for, you know, coming back to Eurovision 2021. Maybe people didn't want the slower ballads. Maybe people did want the more like super uplifting, energetic, high energy things. And that's fine. But either way, she's done really well. And like we say about Bulgaria, 10 years ago. Love Unlimited, do you remember that? Was that 2012?
Oh, dim, 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 day, oh, dim. Yes, I remember
The
Blue. I remember.
Yeah, that, like, the thought of Bulgaria getting to the grand final like 10 years ago, they were almost always just it was an uphill battle for years for this country. And yeah, Bulgaria is guaranteed a win in the next 10 years, even sooner, I'd say.
Oh, let's make it next year. Let's make it next year. I'm
Sofia
teasing.
2023.
Now, we're not going to go through all 17 in order, but we are going to switch to the televote jury split now, which will bring up many of these countries. Let's quickly go through the televote results just so everyone's on the same page. First place was Finland's Blind Channel, followed by Iceland, Switzerland, Moldova, and Portugal. Bulgaria came sixth, while Denmark, Greece, Serbia, and San Marino rounded out the top 10.
So the public vote put Albania 11th, followed by Estonia, Poland, Georgia, Austria, Latvia, and in last place with the public is the Czech Republic, who had 0 points.
And we should point out that if the televoters had their way, Denmark would have gone through and Albania would have not. Now, the jury vote, let's quickly review that. First place was Switzerland, followed by Bulgaria, Iceland, and Portugal. Then Greece was fifth, followed by Finland, San Marino, Albania, Serbia, and rounding out the top 10 of the jury, Moldova.
And then 11th with the jury is Austria, followed by Estonia, Czech Republic, Poland, Denmark, Latvia, and in 17th place is Georgia with just 1 point.
Ah, so am I correct in saying that all of the jury favorites made it through to the final?
Yes, the only difference between the two is that Denmark would have gone through with a televote and Albania wouldn't have. So the jury's got their way overall.
Ooh, the jury's pushed Denmark down to 15th, my goodness.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the big news. Finland topped the televote in semifinal two, but they were sixth with the jury. I'm so happy for Finland. I love this. We talked about the Battle of the Rock Songs this year, and we were like, only one can slay. But no. Multiple rock songs can slay. I think this says a lot about Eurovision. Eurovision is not just Eurobops. Eurovision is not just sad boy ballads. You can have different types of rock, and they can both do well. Winning the televote in a semifinal with some big contenders, Switzerland, Bulgaria, Iceland. This is fantastic. This should be a huge motivation for Finland, for Uuden Musiikin and Kilpailu. Clearly, it's working. Their system is working. The guys from Finland are so nice and warm. When you see them, you see, all black, tattoos. But in our interview in Rotterdam, they said, you know what? Sometimes the people who look the most rock feel the most. They have the most emotion. And I actually believe that. They were so lovely, so kind, so generous. And to see them do well. Because they were down and out a while ago. They were saying when the pandemic started, they were down and out, no gigs. They were like, oh my God, is it over? I'm just really pleased for them. Oliver, are you surprised they won the televote?
I'm actually not. At first, I was, yes. I was very surprised when I first read this result, especially with like how tight it is at the top between Finland and Iceland. I thought it was going to be Iceland all the way. But then if we flash back to UMK a few months ago, how many points did they win by? It was more than 400 points in the televote. It was a ridiculous number, absolute landslide victory. So and let's just say the quality at UMK this year was above and beyond, like so strong.
Yeah.
And if they can win the televote there, then it was clear that they were going to do well on the televote here. Regardless of what you think about the song, and you all know that I'm not a massive fan of this song, you can't fault them for energy. And like we said before about maybe the difference with Bulgaria and the televote, I think what people really wanted this year is that energy, and Finland brought it. They filled out that arena. They can really work with an audience. And I think every time that we actually saw them perform, in rehearsals, I was really skeptical because it was shaky. There was a bit of stuff that needed some work, but they are the type of people who clearly thrive off a live audience, and it's paid off for them once again.
I've got to say, me and Sinan were watching the grand final. We had amazing seats. Shout out to Moroccan Oil. We were like meters away from them. And when they came on, the energy, the heat, it honestly felt, we say this a lot, it felt like a real concert, but this felt like a real concert on fire. It was everything. And in that moment, we looked at each other and we had this inkling, well, this is going to do well. Because the energy changed in the room. Like, you can feel it, and we felt it with Finland, so I'm so glad it worked out for them. So the biggest rank difference between the jury and the televote was for Denmark. Fear Og Flamma were 7th in the televote, but the jury ranked them 8 places lower in 15th. I can understand this actually. I think, you know, for people at home, the dancing was mesmerizing, it was feel good, it was fun, there was a sweet tenderness to it. But for juries who are like looking for hits, you know, a lot of them are radio professionals. They're looking for radio-friendly music, and Danish language pop may not go down well in, say, the United Kingdom. It's not just because of language. Look at Måneskin, you know, they have a kick-ass song that managed to translate beyond language and is charting here. But something about the Danish song did feel very local. I don't know. It made me happy and I enjoyed it. But if you're sitting in a jury, you know, do you give a high score to the crazy man dancing in the 80s clothing, running around the stage with a mic, singing in Danish? Or do you give it to someone else? Because they have to think about, oh, my name's gonna be next to this and the public's gonna scrutinize me, blah, blah, blah. I enjoyed it. I really liked it. But I think music professionals often have a different set of criteria, and it is influenced by the fact that their name will appear on the score sheet and they don't wanna be harassed online.
Yeah, definitely. I do think that always has something to do with it. I mean, look at Hatari, Iceland in 2019. There was some discontent, shall we say, from the jury towards that song. And I think it kind of had something to do with the connection between the names and then the imagery of this like BDSM kinky stuff that was going on stage. They didn't necessarily want to put their names to it. So I can kind of understand. They might not necessarily want to put their names to a song like Denmark, but props to them for doing so well in the televote. I mean, 7th place when there are so many like other favorites in this semi. Actually, no, let's take it back a second. A while ago, a lot of people were saying this was a weak semi-final. This isn't a weak semi-final. None of these semi-finals were weak. I mean, maybe some of the more favorites were in semi-final one, but this was not weak at all. This is really strong. And Denmark, last in the running order, I think did them a lot of favors with the televote because it was so energetic. Going right after Switzerland John's Tears, you couldn't have more of a contrast between those two songs. So regardless of how you feel about where your tastes lie on the musical genre spectrum, let's say, you're going to be either closer to Switzerland or you're close to Denmark. And I think a lot of people, these are the two songs that will have stuck in a lot of people's heads.
One thing that's jumping out at me is that Latvia, although Samantha Tina finished last overall, she did not finish last with either the televote or the jury. Latvia was 16th with the jury with 4 points. Do you think Latvia deserved to finish last if you had to rank all 17 entries?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think honestly, it had to be the contender for last place. When we reviewed these songs originally, I talked about Latvia. It needed the parade moment. It needed that like celebratory moment to make the song feel like a spectacle rather than just a vehicle for Samantha to showcase her voice. And even then, I don't think it did that in the best possible way. But look at the duality between this song and Russian Woman, where Manisha turns around and she's got that huge LED screen of women, non-binary people, trans people from Russia, which is so progressive when we look at LGBT rights in Russia. You know, that is the message that I wanted to see from Latvia. Yet instead, we got this very confusing display of Samantha looking tiny on the stage, these singers in visors, which I understand was the gimmick from last year. But when you've got other things that are coming over from last year, Samantha Tina's visor wearing singers is not the thing that I remember. I think about things and Tears Getting Sober. They're the songs that stick with me from last year, but still breathing, going translating that to The Moon Is Rising, it just didn't work. And I think they completely needed to redo the staging concept. I don't think Samantha deserved to come last as a singer. I think she was very good vocally,
Yes.
but the whole package just didn't work, and I don't think ticked any of the boxes for what jurors look for or what televoters look for.
Yeah, I think that having people on the LED can be surprisingly powerful. You know, remember Ace Wilder at Melody Festival in ages ago, just duplicating herself and having dancers up there. It looked amazing. I think here the green dress got swallowed by the green and gold backdrop and floor. I was like, where is Samantha? Where is she? It was just the color palette. I like the mix of gold and green, but they needed to break it up. She needed to pop out rather than blending in. I think that was a fatal error. I think, you know, the song, as I've said, it's not my cup of tea. I don't think the song had a memorable enough hook. I don't think the song ultimately was the weakest part of this, if I'm being totally honest. And the staging did not help. She is an icon. Personality, presence, voice. Samantha Tina is queen, goddess. I would love her to come back with something musically more palatable for Europe because she deserves to be a top 10 finisher at Eurovision. This just wasn't the package for that. Yeah, and I totally agree that the emotion of the people, like Manesia, leveraged empowerment to great effect. This did not leverage empowerment because you wouldn't necessarily get that message. Yes, you saw the crown, but I only need that once. I don't need it repeated 22-5, 22, 26. You know what I'm saying? It's a shame because she is queen. She's an icon. She's amazing.
I also want to say on that, actually, why were they saying, if you've got something to say, say it to my face, when they're covering their faces with visors? What is the visual connection? You need a visual connection to go with the storyline
Hey,
of the
say
song.
it, don't spray it. I've got my mask, so when you say it to my face, I can keep your corona away. I do like the visors, it makes me laugh, but I take your point as well. I just think, yeah, they're funny. She's funny. I love her sense of humor. I love her energy. She's iconic.
Absolutely.
So there's been a lot of talk about the Moldova televote jury split. Moldova finished fourth with the televote and 10th with the jury. I should point out, Moldova always does better in the televote than with the jury. Like, if you look at their records, people tend to respond to the quirkiness and the kookiness of their acts, but also there is a large Romanian Moldovan diaspora. Now, people are like, what? Romanians and Moldovans both speak Romanian. They have strong cultural connections. And so you do, the fact that you have Romanians in many of these countries like Portugal, etc., it does actually play a role. Like, it helps them, they benefit. Kind of like the Lithuanian diaspora in the UK. The UK is often very friendly to the Lithuanian act. I actually understand this result. The countries, to a lot of people, seem random. They're like, why did all these countries give 12 points to Moldova? But I should point out, Sugar was a huge hit in Bulgaria. Sinan Sadula, our blogger, says it's played every day for months. In Greece, it's been played a lot on the radio. In Russia, there's a Russian version that's been playing. It was charting in Russia, and in other Russian-speaking countries. So actually, I'm not surprised this came forth in the televote. I'm really not. When you factor all of that in, it does make sense. And the jury putting it 10th, yeah, I mean, the juries were always going to rank this slightly lower than the televote. But 10th is a respectable result because she did hit that note. That is very impressive. You don't think she hit it? Our girl hit it. Someone on that stage, either behind the camera or in front, hit that note. And you know, this has been one of my favorites consistently since it was released. So this is like not kind of earth-shattering that I'm saying this. It's one that I remember. Give me some sugar. And something I want to point out, during the grand final, not everyone noticed, she literally dropped her mic. And she very quickly picked it up, stood up, and got back to it. So I just want to shout out to her. That is a moment. And it looked like it was the choreo, but it wasn't. It was a mistake. So I'm just, that was awesome. Oliver.
Yeah, props to her for that. Yeah, that was professionalism, I think, in the grand final. This result is a little bit surprising to me. I knew it was going to do well with the televote, but I didn't think it was going to do this well. Especially when we consider we've got the big pop songs like Serbia. We've even got the kind of, the cheesy pop songs like Denmark and Poland, I didn't quite think Moldova was going to do as well as it did. However, one thing that we have to consider is a key ingredient at Eurovision is the campaign trail.
Yeah.
So, Senate had the freaky trip to Rotterdam. Moldova, Natalia Gordienko, assisted by Filip Kirkorov and the Dream
Yeah.
Team, had a massive Europe-wide campaign, including a reveal event with a red carpet in Moscow, and it went on for about 3.5 hours, longer than the semifinals. But there were so many celebrities there from all over Russia, from the Russian music industry, and that, to be honest, transcends into the Eastern European music
Yeah.
industry. So I can totally understand the support because people have kind of been following this campaign ever since Sugar was released, or to be honest, even prior to that, since Prism was released. I think the amount of 12 points that it got is a little bit shocking, especially when we consider how it performed in those countries with the grand final televote result. But overall, I think it is deserved. I think that they put a lot of effort into the campaign, into the performance. But the jury vote, this coming 10th place, it doesn't deserve to be in the top 10 with the juries.
Okay,
That
see,
note.
no, this is okay. This is where I'm gonna disagree because jurors often work at radio stations and songs that get radio play elevate. I'm sorry, Georgia, Latvia, Denmark, Poland, Czech Republic, Estonia, which Austria, which finished below it. I don't think those are as radio friendly as Moldova. I think Moldova's more radio friendly than Albania, than Portugal, than. Yeah, this has a radio-friendly quality. Some people may call it trash. Some people, well, I don't say may. I've heard people call that song trash.
Oh
But I'm sorry, this
yeah.
is a pop song. This is a commercial. This is the most commercial number. And jurors come from commercial radio stations so frequently. So I do see why it came 10th. Yeah, it's always going to be divisive because this is the only, I'm going through this list. This is the only song I would call a banger in here. There are no other bangers. Like, this has a beat. This has that Maruv thrust. Nothing else has that. Because I don't consider Czech Republic a banger. I consider it upbeat.
No.
But so no. Look, we're gonna agree to disagree, but I can understand. And also, we should talk about the Kirkorov effect. He's hugely popular. He sells out arenas in a second in countries like Latvia, Georgia, Estonia, Bulgaria, where he was born. So people, there are lots of different variables here. And I'm just going to conclude by saying, Natalia, that interview, at the end of our interview in Rotterdam, girl got me emotional. She talked about her mother died when she was young. She knows struggle. She knows what it's like to fight because people just assume, oh, rich woman's had everything handed to her. Oh, no. She has
No.
lived. And if you rewatch the end of that interview, I think it will change your perspective. Not you, but it could change people's perspective on her because she's a very deep, sweet, sincere person. And yeah, we were all on our team kind of like, you ask her one question, she answers five, but she does it so authentically and so beautifully. I'm a
Yeah.
stop.
I do just want to say on Moldova, actually, now that I'm looking at it, yes, it did deserve to come in the top 10 with the jury because I'm looking at the ones that are below it. I take back my point. I totally understand that radio friendly. However, my problem is I watched the jury show and her vocal wasn't up to scratch with how it had been before. And that note was an octave below what we heard because what we heard was the pre-recorded backing vocals and she just very quietly sang the octave below. And it wasn't stable for that whole 17 seconds, which she claims is one of the longest notes in Eurovision history. I just didn't think that moment was as impressive as they intended it to be, and it felt like more of a cover-up than anything else. So that's why I'm surprised it's so high with the jury. But everything else about the song, everything else about the horns and the kind of danceability about it, I can completely get on board with. And looking at it in comparison to the rest of the results, yeah, I get it.
And you raise a good point, actually. The jury show is, of course, the night before. And so that may explain this split as well, because the jury performance was not
Yeah.
as good as the televote performance.
Agreed.
In any case, we move on. And the next thing we are going to discuss is Portugal, because my God, this exceeded people's expectations. I think a little bit of color goes a long way. You know, in Festival da Canção, we went from black and white to sort of, you know, blues, basically. It was blue and green, wasn't it? But then here, they went from black and white to Technicolor fantasy. It took us on a journey. Because this song, what it struggled with for me was dynamism. And by adding that those beautiful tropical hues, sunset hues, however you want to describe it, with the LED of the woman walking down the runway as Tatanka walked, that was beautiful. That really elevated this. And I think even if you didn't know the prostitute backstory, this created the dynamism it lacked at Festival da Canção. So well done to RTP for adding that change. That's a big change to add, but it was so effective.
Yeah, I have been championing Portugal since day one. I didn't think it was going to go through, but I'm so happy that it did. I think the Black Mamba and Pedro Tatanka especially, they're so likable. They're like
Yeah.
such a, you know, listening to them talk in the qualifiers press conference, Tatanka wasn't necessarily answering the questions if you go back and watch the footage, but just listening to him talk, he seems like such a nice person. And I think that really came across in the performance. There was an authenticity there. There was a sensibility. And I also feel like it felt very natural. And every time they performed it, it was slightly different. He would change the melody or the inflection just the tiniest bit. And it felt real. And a lot of jurors respected that, clearly. The studio cut, again, I can understand why people don't like it. It's a bit repetitive, it's a bit monotonous, but as a package, this is really, really strong. And I think this is a very, very strong result for Portugal. I would love to see another Portuguese victory in the future because I just absolutely adore Portugal and I want to go back there.
Can we talk about San Marino?
Oh,
10th in the
yeah.
televote, 7th in the jury vote. Now, I enjoyed this a lot. I just thought it
Yeah.
brought together so much stuff that shouldn't work together, but it did. I think the inclusion of Flo Rida was great for the hype, but even putting that to the side, she performed. Sinead really performed. Vocally, she sounded great. I loved the bonkers choreography. You know, she said head, breast, booty. That's what she told me. Head, breast, booty. I just loved so much of this. The colors, the Eritrean instrumentation, the Italian language. It was in your face. It was fire. I expected San Marino to get its best result ever. They deserved to get their best result ever, and they didn't. This qualified in 9th position. You know, she did open the show, so we can say she did open the show. But the Roop opened their show, and they actually slayed their semi. So that's not the excuse. Maybe Europe just thought too much was going on in this. What's your explanation?
I think San Marino is a such a strange one to analyze because where does the televote support come from for San Marino? Kind of with Moldova and with, you know, we can explain like Romania, with Portugal, we can say connections to Spain, the UK and Ireland, Greece and Cyprus. San Marino is kind of like a really small nation. Yes, there's Italy, but there's no San Marinese diaspora, or if there is, I don't mean to speak out of term, it's going to be very little because of the size of the population. So I can understand the televote there. And again, like you said, first in the running order isn't always that helpful to the televote. But yeah, the jury, like you said about Moldova being the only banger, I would say San Marino is a banger. Like,
Yeah, that's true.
absolutely.
That's true.
And I would have thought, I mean, it did do better than Moldova in the jury, but I just expected this to do so much better than it did. I think it deserved to. And I think this is, it's funny actually, there's somebody on Twitter, forgive me, I can't remember this person's name, but I would credit them if I could, listing all of the comparisons or rather areas where Sinead outperformed ABBA at Eurovision. And it's just really funny. And it's like, she's been really successful in this whole campaign. It's just a shame that the results don't reflect that.
Yeah, I've the There's always one, you know, there's always one. Maybe this will make it into the Eurovision Crimes video because I thought Freaky Queen deserved so much from Europe. I cannot speak,
Oh,
deserved
yeah.
so much more from Europe. There we go.
Yeah, agreed.
Now, let's quickly just wrap this up with our final random thoughts. Let me kick this off by saying Georgia getting more televotes than Austria kind of floored me. Georgia, not much happened. Georgia came last with the jury. The only staging element was some words projected onto him. I thought it was effective, that bit. But yeah, I'm shocked that Austria finished 15th in a televote, whereas Georgia was 14th. I don't know what's going on. That to me is a result that just blows my mind. You know, Austria came 11th with the jury, and then Georgia came last. And to me, I can understand that at least. I feel like that's more in the realm of like what I would expect. What do you think about Austria's underperformance and Georgia's perhaps overperformance?
I want to take the focus off Austria, actually, and talk about the Czech Republic. I mean, yes, I think Austria underperformed with the televote compared to the jury, but I kind of expected that with the running order and the songs that surrounded it. But Czech Republic getting 0 points while Georgia gets 15. I'm very curious to know what audience is responding to the Georgian song over Benny Cristo from the Czech Republic. Perhaps it's a cultural thing. Perhaps it's something to do with population sizes. I mean, this is the thing with Eurovision, is it's not always necessarily proportionate, which is a good thing because it means that no country is more important, let's say, than another. So in one country, the person who comes first in the televote might get 1,000 votes and they get 12 points. And in another country, they might get 1,000 votes and they get 0 points because of the size of the population. That's one explanation behind this kind of likability of the Czech Republic, because I think this is a very radio-friendly song in the UK, for example, or Ireland, or the more Western nations. But I'm just very confused about Georgia doing better than Czech Republic, even Latvia as well. I mean, I just don't get it. I don't get it one bit.
Gotta be honest, I don't remember watching Georgia's performance all the way through. I don't remember it. However, I
It was my
do,
toilet break.
yeah. However, I do remember that the Czech Republic had this very big stage, and I think when you try to fill a big stage with lots of dancers, it ends up looking very empty. Whereas if you're one person singing an emotional song on a big stage, you can still fill it because they have to they have to focus on you because you're the only person, so you're more present. I think a lot of his live on tape, Benny Cristo's live on tape, was better than the live performance. Because on the live on tape, he's on a smaller stage, so it fills it, and it feels more, he sounds better, it looks better, he doesn't get lost. Whereas I think on that big stage, I felt the same way about Israel, to be honest. I think acts and artists get lost when there are all these dancers and this massive stage. Whereas Georgia, I guess, benefited from being one person. You gotta focus on him because you've got nothing else to look at. So maybe that helped it in some way. I don't know.
Maybe, but I mean, it didn't qualify. So at the end of the day, it's like,
Yeah.
I suppose it doesn't matter when it gets down a certain point in the leaderboard. But I definitely think there's some discussions there about. I just think it's very strange, especially with like Tonika's lack of campaign for Eurovision. But that's something for another video.
Yeah, you know, I mean, ultimately, it's only 15 points. So
Yeah,
basically,
exactly.
everyone after Estonia got 29, but then after that, it's 17, 15, 13, 10, 0. So at that point, it's almost like, okay, we can kind of group them together in a sense because it's not very many points. And Georgia, you know, did have some former, there are a lot of CIS countries here, you know, former Soviet republics. We've got Latvia, we've got Estonia. We've got Moldova, so there, you know, maybe regional kind of shared historical connections. I don't know. All I know is this. That's what we think. What do you think? Are you living for the semifinal two results of Eurovision 2021? What jury televote discrepancies stood out to you? Let us know here on WeWe Blogs.
And you can follow us on socials. We're on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, not Pinterest, not OnlyFans, but anywhere else, give us a follow.
Share some pics on our mood board, and we'll see you later.
Bye! Bye.